If you're purchasing a new home or refinancing your existing home, then you need to call Team Hochberg, your trusted local lender, 855-563-2843, or visit 56diva.com. Lower.com, equal housing lender, MLS 112-4061.
720 WGN, John Landecker at 736. You can feel it in the air tonight. You can feel it in the air tomorrow. You felt it in the air today. Chicago, the number one polluted city in the entire world. And to help us put that into some kind of perspective, Daniel Westervelt is an associate research professor at the Columbia Climate School and air pollution advisor to the U.S. State Department. That sounds pretty cool, Daniel, I got to say. That's quite a position to have, isn't it?
Well, I think it sounds good, but I think the State Department has a lot of responsibilities besides air pollution.
So. Well, of course. But I just think that that's a cool thing. Just me personally, looking in from the outside, I was looking at your education background, and in 2008, you got a BS from Purdue University. Are you from the Midwest?
So I'm not actually from the Midwest. I was born in Illinois, and both of my parents are from the Chicago area.
But, oh, really?
I grew up in the Southeast, yeah.
Oh, okay. I just saw the Purdue, and I'm like, just wonder, boiler up, you know what they say.
Yeah. Still got a lot of family in the Chicago area, so
yeah.
It's a good place.
You're obviously air pollution and stuff, particles in the air and fires in Canada and just an amazing decrease in the quality of air to a point that I think a lot of us are very amazed by. And I looked at your field of interests, atmospheric aerosol chemistry and climate change. Now, I know what climate change is. I know what the atmosphere is. And I know what chemistry is. But I'm not so sure about atmospheric aerosol chemistry. What is that?
Yeah, that's a good question. So aerosol in this case refers to just small particles that are in the air. So it's sort of another word for just particles. I think most people are probably familiar with like aerosol spray, for example, like in your cans. Yeah. So that's a type of aerosol, but what we're talking about with atmospheric aerosols, we're talking about the small particles that are out in the atmosphere from sources like smoke from wildfires. They also come from human activities, fossil fuel burning, vehicles, all these things. And so I study the physics and the chemistry of these particles, and including stuff that has to do with wildfires.
Which brings us to where we are today, and Chicago having the worst air in the world. New York had that title just a couple of weeks ago. I know that up in Minnesota, they were having their fair share of difficulties, and I'm looking at the gauges that measure the quality of air around our greater Chicagoland area and Michigan and Wisconsin, et cetera, and Iowa, Indiana, and purple is bad, and it's almost to purple. Is this really just because of these Canadian wildfires? And if so, why can't they put them out?
Yeah, I think most of it is from the wildfires. So if we're on a kind of regular, non-fire impacted day in Chicago, you might see air quality in sort of the green or the yellow range at work. The typical sources that come from, our regular day activities, driving and, electricity and all that, those are fairly well under control. But when you have these fires, it sort of throws a wrench into the story. And, as to why they can't put them out, I think that they're trying to.
Of course.
There's just a lot of them. There's a lot of them, and a lot of them are, burning acres and acres of land. I think that the statistic I saw most recently is that across the entire country of Canada, there's something like 500 active fires right now.
Wow.
A good portion of those are quite large. So it's It's hard to do it, but I think they're trying their best.
Well, I'm sure they are. Has there been a cause isolated to these 500 fires in Canada?
Yeah, well, I think that people are kind of working on that right now, mm-hmm. you know, to try to figure out. This has been a pretty anomalous season for fires.
Yeah.
You know, we normally don't get this many fires and also this early in the season. So the fire season in Canada actually extends through about September. So we're not even really through that far of it at this point. So it's a little bit still up in the air about what's going on. I mean, there's very well detailed research about the contributions of climate change, in particular drier conditions, hotter temperatures, you know, drought-like conditions that basically cause all of this material, this plant material, to be drier and thus more susceptible to burning and to sort of burning out of control. And so certainly that there's been some role to play for that, that we think. But yeah, it's a bit of an open question, I'd say.
So possibly these things that are burning are sitting there when they're not burning, and all of a sudden they just decide to burn on their own. There's no, you know, starter fluid or a match, yeah. or so, you know what I'm saying? They just naturally combust?
No. So there's a couple of different ways that the fires can actually ignite.
Uh-huh.
There's natural ways, for example, dry lightning. So if you have like a thunderstorm and right. you have lightning that's not associated with the rain, that's sort of the most natural way that these fires can occur. And that does occur, I think, probably about, I've seen some statistics that say, you know, 25% of the wildfires occur from that route.
Mm-hmm.
The rest of them, believe it or not, are essentially when one way or another caused by humans. And this could be something simple, like somebody tosses out a cigarette butt and, you know, maybe it doesn't immediately blaze up, but with the winds and with the dry conditions, you know, later it can sort of spiral out of control. You know, simple stuff like campfires. You know, this is a very kind of like natural area. There's probably a lot of good national parks and stuff up there. And so,
oh yes, absolutely,
can get out of control. You know, and a lot of times when you're in a very dry season in anywhere in either the U.S. or Canada, there will be burn bans or at least mm-hmm. like burn notices, like, you know, don't have a campfire or whatever. So yeah, a lot of them get kind of sparked up that way by human activity.
Well, come to think of it, I don't know why I didn't think of it earlier. Canada is a very large country as far as its size. It's not that populated compared to a lot of other countries on the planet, and also has a vast amount of area that could go up in flames, wooded areas that usually are, you know, looked upon as let's go up to a certain part of Canada and go fishing, camping, whatever. There's just a lot of forest and a lot of things that could possibly go up in flames. It's just that I don't recall them ever doing that before. And the way you describe it, that so massive 500 fires, that just seems to me like an unbelievable amount and almost insurmountable to put out. I mean, they're going to have to burn themselves out, aren't they? I mean, how do you put out 500 fires? You know?
It's a pretty, you know, unprecedented season in terms of fires. I mean, we have seen wildfires for a long time coming out of Canada. And most of the time it impacts the western part of the country and not necessarily the Midwest or the East. You know, putting them out, you know, there's definitely wildfire firefighters on out there, you know, doing
their
best.
Oh, sure. Right.
A lot of it though is kind of just you got to wait. You know, if you have an out of control fire that's hundreds or thousands of acres in burned area, there's not a lot that can be done. And so you basically wait for something like rain. Eventually that portion of the world, you know, gets very covered in snow in the winter, and so
True. The
fires are not a problem, you know, in that time period. But
yeah,
through September or so, everything is still pretty dry and not snow covered. So it's partially just a waiting game, and you know, most of this season so far, you know, these fires have been pretty continuously burning.
And how long do you have any estimate? Oh, you said it could be till September or till snow falls in Canada that these fires still burn?
Yeah. You know, I wouldn't necessarily think that all, 500 or so of them could burn continuously throughout September. But, it wouldn't be really that surprising if there is some amount of fire activity going on through September. The question is, will it impact the U.S. air quality in the way so dramatically that it has so far?
Well, there have been, I can't remember the words that were used, but weather forecasters for years describing cold fronts coming down from Canada into the United States. I forget the name they used for it, but obviously this is being blown our way, right? I mean, the wind must have a lot to do with this, I'm guessing.
Yeah, absolutely. So, right, cold fronts coming down from the north.
Yeah.
Right now, there's some low pressure systems that are kind of spinning around in Canada, basically north of Chicago, north also of like the, the eastern U.S.
Yeah.
And because of the way that the counterclockwise motion of these low pressure systems, the wind patterns are basically just headed straight south, or at least, I guess, southeast. So kind of like towards Chicago, Ohio, by tomorrow.
Yeah.
And Thursday, we're talking about this happening in New York again and D.C.
Wow.
Because they're kind of shifting east a little bit. But yeah, it's a combination. It's a little bit of just, this is the way the winds happen to be blowing. Earlier this week, there was news about fires that were happening in Quebec, eastern Canada, and the winds were sort of due east. And so the smoke from those fires were reaching all the way to Europe, the United Kingdom, and, the European continent.
Wow.
So, yeah, it's definitely, the wind is a huge factor in this. That's what brings us the smoke.
Well, maybe somebody somewhere should get on it and figure out how we don't have to do this so much anymore in the future. That might be a good idea, because this is a very strange way to live, as far as I'm concerned. I mean, I'm just not used to having to deal with this. I mean, I have ozone alerts and all that. I mean, plenty of those in Chicago. But this is just a whole different ball game. So you think it'll eventually clear out of here in the next couple of days, and then we get to hand it off to the East Coast? Is that what you're saying?
Yeah. So this current, batch of smoke that's kind of sitting over the Midwest is going to clear out, Thursday, Friday. It's heading sort of south and east. The D.C. area might be hit pretty hard tomorrow. New York mayor has already put out, a statement about look out tomorrow. That being said, the fires are still burning. So, it's possible that another plume,
round,
as we would call it, comes on through in the future. So it might be a temporary reprieve, but we'll see.
Well, thank you, Daniel, for being with us. I really appreciate your insight. And associate research professor at Columbia Climate School, and also, helping the Pentagon and the State Department and all sorts of really important people, yet he had time to talk to us. Thank you, Daniel. I really appreciate it.
Thanks a lot. Bye.
You bet.